Well, what I'm going to share with you, I didn't think I was going to share with you. I just found it out like 10 seconds ago. I did not bring my other journals. I've been carrying all three of them around because I realize it's been since June 11th. That's your birthday. Ever since your birthday, I have been having constant visitations and visions and revelations and just constant. And then he's not letting me bring hardly any of it to share, so it's really strange. I feel like maybe he's downloading a puzzle and I didn't get the last piece yet, you know. But I didn't bring all those today. I only brought the current one. And I didn't know what we were going to do. And he said, just flip back to the last thing I gave you. And I'm like, but that was about the angels. And I wasn't going to share that, you know. So I guess I am. Lord, we just invite you. I have no idea what you want to do this morning or why you want to share this. But we just give you freedom and liberty, and if you move, we'll move, and if you stop, we'll stop. So take over, Holy Spirit, and do whatever you want to do in us. Prepare us, open us up to receive. And just come and speak what you want to speak. Thank you, Jesus. I listened to a DVD online. It's at White Dove Ministries by Paul Keith Davis, and it's called A Call to Arms. If you can go online and listen to that, I'll give you that again. White Dove Ministries, A Call to Arms by Paul Keith Davis. It is a very now message. It's very relevant to the oil spill, to what God is doing, to the darkness that's being poured out, and the angels of light that are coming. And I've always been one that I don't like to follow whatever men are just preaching. I don't like to latch on to a person or onto a concept. I'm one that's got to go home and say, if it's you, God, you show me in your scripture. You prove it to me. If it's for, and even if it's you, but it's not for me, I don't want it. So in his talking, which is not the main gist of what he was talking about, he mentioned being visited by an angel. And he said, if you've ever been visited by an angel, that'll scare the life out of you, but it's worth it. But, and he went on talking about these spirits of the enemy that are coming and flooding with evil, and these spirits of God, of powerful light of God coming and flooding. And he said that he saw these evil spirits visiting people in their bedrooms. And that made me think of dreams, maybe, you know, that they were coming and they were infiltrating the people that would receive them and teaching them how to walk powerfully in evil. But at the same time, these angels of light were visiting people in their bedrooms. And they were coming upon them to teach them how to walk in the power of God's light and His goodness, the glory covering the face of the earth. I said, that's really cool. But God, you know, I have never sought angels. We were in a church where everyone was going, oh, somebody had a visitation by an angel. I wish I could see an angel. I wish I could see an angel. And I thought, I don't want to see an angel. I want to see Jesus. Why would I want to see an angel when I could see Jesus? I'm going to keep just seeking Jesus. I don't need to see angels. Recently, there was a talk about a service where they just saw a lot of angels, physically saw them. Many people saw them in the room. And Bob Jones said the reason that that happened, angels travel at the speed of light. So you'll see a flash of light and go, did I see something or didn't I? Because an angel can fly through so quick, it's just like a little flick of light and gone. He said, but praise and worship catches their attention and they slow down. And they, if you praise and worship long enough and deep enough, they'll actually stop and join you. And then maybe you could see them. So I knew that angels travel at the speed of light. And I thought, well, I thought I never saw an angel, but maybe I have. And demons, they travel pretty quick too, but they're like a shadow, like a shadow. Sometimes you'll think, what was that? Maybe the size of a mouse or this high. They're all different sizes. But it's just like a shadow and it's gone, and go, oh, I thought I saw something, but there's nothing there. So you actually sometimes are aware of these spirits, but you don't realize it because they move so quickly. Well, anyway, he talked about these new messengers of God, and he said, Bob Jones said, it's not that you want to see an angel because you want to worship them. It's because they're messengers of God. They come to bring you something from God. So I said, well, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't worship them, but I wouldn't mind listening to them. If one wanted to come and talk to me, that'd be fine. Anyway, after all of this, I got ready to go to bed. It was late at night, and I got ready to go to bed. It was about 11 o'clock, I think. And the thought came, I believe it was God, but at the time I thought it was just me. I thought, would you like to have a visitation from an angel? And I thought, yeah, of course I would. Would it scare you? Nah, you know, it wouldn't scare me, it's an angel. And then I thought about people that had visitations from angels. Sometimes a man or two men just suddenly were there. And I thought, okay, now I open my eyes in the middle of the night and there's a man or two men standing in my bedroom. Yeah, that's going to scare me. Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, they're not going to be standing there with wings and feathers and all white and glowing. If they're just standing there like two men in the middle of the night in my room and my husband's in Israel, I'm going to get scared. Absolutely. And as soon as I agreed with that thought, a spirit of fear came on me. And I was like, oh, God, don't do that while he's gone. Don't do that while Harvey's gone. Just if you're going to send them looking like men, wait till Harvey gets home so I can shake him and say, Harvey, there's somebody in our room, you know. But don't do it while he's gone. And God was, well, what if I want to? I went, oh, okay, but we better deal with the spirit of fear then. So he said, well, then let's deal with the spirit of fear. So I dealt with the spirit of fear, and I rebuked it and said, I will not fear anything. I mean, come on. If God is saying it and then somebody appears tonight, I'm going to believe it's an angel. I mean, what, the boogeyman broke in on the same night? You know, I'm going to believe you, God. It's you. I receive it. Go ahead and send this man, you know. So I went to sleep, calm, no more fear, and I fell asleep. At 11:53, I was awakened by the loudest thunder I have ever heard. It was like it was right in my room with me. I opened my eyes. I mean, I was suddenly wide awake. And I mean, it must have been spirit time because I had the thought, God is speaking. I had the thought, God is speaking. This thunder just roared so loud, instantly wide awake. And immediately, there was a flash of lightning in my bedroom. And it wasn't white. It was fire. It was red fire. And it was a streak of lightning. I mean, if this is the end of my bed, it was right about there. And I thought I would find a burn mark on the floor because this wasn't a dream or a vision. My eyes were open. And there was this streak of fire lightning, whew, and it was gone. But as it struck, I mean, it was thunder, lightning, and something inside of me was hit so hard. And I kept thinking, that hit the core of me. That hit the very core of my being. And that was God. And I couldn't hardly move. I just looked out my window and said, are you going to do it again? You know, I'm just staring out the window waiting to see if he's going to do it again. And the thunder was way in the distance. And the lightning was way, white light way in the distance. And I watched and I watched and it never came close again. It was like the storm was way far away. Janaya heard that thunder. She heard it downstairs. When I woke up in the morning, God said, you better write it down. Well, I sleep with my closet light on and my pen and my paper and glasses by my bed because he's been visiting me so much, I have to be ready. So I turned over and I scribbled, loud, crashing thunder, lightning, and it hit so bright and it was red like fire and it hit inside my room and it seemed to come right into the core, the center of me. And that's all I wrote that night. I woke up in the morning and I wrote that in a little better, you know, handwriting with more awakeness so I could read it. And I said, Lord, what was it? And he said it was an angel. And I went, well, they didn't talk to me. They didn't tell me. And you know me, God, if that was really an angel, you're going to have to show it to me in your word. And he took me to Psalm 104. And it says, 104:4 says, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Hebrews 1:7. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Two times he showed me that angels travel as a flame of fire. And I said, whoa, it was an angel. But I don't know what he said or what he brought or what he did. I have no clue. God said, read Psalm 103:20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. And God gave me the interpretation. They brought an anointing that would strengthen me, that would strengthen the very core of my being. That is your spirit. To strengthen me in spirit so that I could do all his commandments. God is getting ready to bring us instructions, things he wants us to do here at Burning Bush. And he had to strengthen my spirit to stand in those things so that we can do them. And to give hearkening to the voice of his word, he said, I am opening a revelation in my word. I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm bringing revelation in the word. Revelation, understanding, wisdom in Scripture. They came to prepare. Then in Psalm 148:2, it says, praise him, all ye angels. Praise ye him, all his host. They also will stir up praise. God, I only saw one streak of lightning, but God brought to my mind how we want to partner when we pray for someone. And he took me to all kinds of verses about angels coming in partnership. There are times they come alone and bring you a word. I don't know if it was one or if it was two or 20, I don't know. There are times. But he also pointed out to me that in Jacob's ladder, angels were coming up and down, up and down, up and down. And we saw that ladder here in a prayer meeting where we saw angels coming up and down. And they even added a pole so they could slide down quicker. And Jesus comes in glory with his holy angels. Some of these, if you want to see this, Genesis 19:1, just write these references down. Two angels came to Lot, not one. Genesis 28:12, Jacob's ladder, many angels coming up and down. Genesis 32:1, when Jacob was on his way to meet his brother, angels met him, not just one. Matthew 4:11, the angels ministered to Jesus. Matthew 25:31, Jesus comes in glory with his holy angels. Why? God can do anything. When Jesus comes back, why are the holy angels coming with him? They gather the elect from the four corners. So they are messengers. They work with God. They travel with him. They bring his presence. God is fire. In the burning bush, it says that God spoke to Moses from a flame out of the bush. And God ascends up in a flame. There is so much about fire and the way God comes with his angels. Luke 2:15, angels told the shepherds about Jesus' birth. Not one. Angels, plural. Luke 4:10, God gave angels charge over Jesus to keep him. In Luke 16:22, angels carried the beggar into Abraham's bosom. Luke 24:23, when they came to the empty tomb, there were two angels, one sitting on each end of the bed in the tomb. Angels told them. John 1:50, Jesus told Philip, you shall see angels descending, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Hebrews 12:12 is a good one. We are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. I believe there's a great innumerable company of angels being released today. And I don't want you to worship angels. Every time when an angel came to a person and they fell down, the angel said, stand up. Do not worship me. We do not worship them. We don't go, oh, wow, they fly, they carry fire, they're white and glowing, and they have wings, and so what? we worship God who made the angels. The angels are His messengers. They're His messengers. In Revelation 1:20, angels are assigned to the seven churches. In the end times, God has angels. The seven lampstands before the very throne of God represent the stars in His hand. The lampstands are the churches. The stars in His hand are the angels that He is sending to the churches to get us ready. I believe that this lightning, fire, was for burning bush. I believe that it might be our end time angel sent to this church. Or one of them. It's maybe not even the only one. Revelation 8:2, seven angels are standing before the throne of God and they are given seven trumpets. 8:4, angels carry our prayers in their hand up to God. 8:13, they fly, they speak. 10:10, the angels gave John the words of God's prophecy. They gave him the words and the understanding. 12:7, they war, they fight. Other angels. They fight the demons. You know what? They're on a different level than we are. They see the demons that we don't see. They know them and understand them where we don't. And they're on our side. 15:1, seven angels brought God's plagues in the last days to the earth. In Exodus 3:2, the angels were in the flame of fire before them and they were that followed them, and in the cloud by day. The angels were in that. So these angels are ministers from God. They come to prepare us. I didn't plan to share it because I didn't want anyone to do what I've seen others do. Wow, someone saw an angel. I want to see an angel and forget all about Jesus and start looking for angels. I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want anyone to say, oh, wow, you got a visitation by an angel. Why not me? You know what? I have not sensed God's presence one time since that visitation. And I'm getting up going, wow, my life's going to be changed now. I'm going to be somebody different. Now I'm still stuck with me. Still get up, same attitude, same old flesh, same old Sue. You know, come on, God, I mean, you sent lightning in my room. It's a miracle. I've had so many miracles and visitations. And then you get up the next day and go, where are you, God? Where's your presence? Why am I still just me? I thought you were just going to come and I was going to have such a visitation and such a vision of you that I would be changed and transformed forever and I wouldn't be the same anymore. Whatever He's imparting to us, it's in there. It's in there. But we're still just us. He chooses normal, natural men. And we're still just us. And we have to hold on to what He brings by faith. I don't go hardly anywhere alone. I didn't pass insecurity. I'm driving over to Detroit, over that side of the state, by myself today. And I didn't get hardly any sleep last night. I'm sleepy right now. I fall asleep just thinking about driving. But I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stay awake, and I'm going to be fine. Last night, my internet's down, and they're not coming till Friday. I have no internet. And I thought, okay, so I don't have internet till Friday. I'll survive. My daughter was counting on me doing some cartoon picture of their new generator so she can win a contest by naming the new generator, which I come up with the bug, the big ugly generator, and debug. It debugs your problems. So she wanted me to draw a cartoon picture of it and get it to her right away so she could put it in to win the contest. But I didn't have a computer to send it to her, and I can't mail it in time. So I felt like the Lord said, grab your computer and go on down to the Bigsby coffee shop and work down there. And I went, oh no, go down with a bunch of strangers I don't know by myself. Maybe Janiyah will go. And that's my first thought, you know. Who'll go with me? I'm thinking of all of you. Who wants to go to the coffee shop tonight, you know? God says, go by yourself. I went, oh no. And He said, who is that? That's insecurity. You're going to listen to him? Nope. I'm going by myself. I went and told Janiyah, I'm going down to the coffee shop to work on the computer. And she looked at me like, are you my mother? You know, you don't do that. And I said, it's okay. God said to go. So I went down there alone and designed the bug and sent it to her last night. And I enjoyed it. I stayed there an hour by myself. I might even pump gas today. I'm still me. I still have the same sin nature. I still have the same thoughts. I'm still tired. I'm still exactly the same. But by faith, last night when he said go, I said, oh yeah, I'm strong and I'm not insecure, so I'm going. I didn't feel strong. I felt insecure. But I said, insecurity, you're not going to live in me. You're not going to do it. God has strengthened me, and I'm going to do whatever he says without fear. And I acted against it, and I went, and it was great. And I'm going to drive today, and I'm going to get there, and it's going to be great. So you have to act against the spirits. You have to take them down. And God is sending these angels to strengthen you up, not to give you a woo experience, but to strengthen you up in the spirit realm so that you will, by faith, do what he tells you to do. And when you do, see, that angel, what he did, it's in there. He's with me. But if I don't do anything to act in obedience, I won't know that. But when God says, now I sent him to strengthen your core so you could obey my commandments. Now when God says, do something, if I just sit there and go, and listen to insecurity, I can do what I've always done. But if I go, oh, God is with me because he said so, I don't have to feel it. God said go. When I step out to obey, that's when that strength charges up. When you obey him is when the strength charges up. When he comes and says, this is what you need to do, and you don't do it, you just stay where you've been. But when you obey what he says to do, grace and strength will be there to empower it. That's how we walk by faith. That's how we live by faith. Are we going to be walking around like holier than thou is glowing? No. No. Elijah was a man of like passions, just like us. And he called fire down from heaven because God told him to. The next time he wanted to call fire down from heaven, God said no. He was in obedience. He was not walking around like, you know, God's holy anointed one. He was a man just like us. When John the Baptist was on the earth, Jesus called him the greatest prophet that has ever lived. He was poor, lived in the desert, wore animal skins and ate bugs. And people didn't like him. They didn't like him. He didn't look all glowing and holy. When Jesus walked the earth, they called him a glutton. Maybe he chewed with his mouth open and wiped it on his shirt. I don't know what he did. That's not a sin. Maybe he was fat. They always call fat people gluttons. Even, you know, I can go out and eat a half of a meal that I share with Janiyah. We're both fat. Paula sits there, chows down the whole buffet, and she's skinny. Nobody calls her a glutton. Maybe Jesus was fat. I don't know. They call him a wine bibber. He didn't get drunk. He wouldn't get drunk. Why'd they call him a wine bibber? They said, we grew up with you. Your dad's the carpenter, Joseph. You can't be who you say you are. He appeared as a man. He didn't walk around in the glory of God, shining, don't touch me, you know, lest you burn up by my fiery presence. He lived like a man in a human body, and he burped, and he went to the bathroom, and he had to sleep, and everything we do. And he was tempted in all points like we are, but he did not sin. He didn't give in to it. You don't sin when you're tempted. You sin when you give in to it. A thought comes in your mind, you want to do something, and you tell it no. Those same thoughts came in his mind, and he told them no. You sin when you entertain the thought and allow it to linger and think on it. That's when you sin. Inwardly, when you begin to think on it. Pretty soon you'll begin to imagine doing it, and then you'll take a step to do it. He didn't entertain the thought. The thought came. And he said no. Quickly deny them. I think angels are coming to you. Otherwise, I don't know why he would have told me to share that. So I think angels are coming to you. They're coming here. And you know, when Dudley's like, he tells Janai all the time, if it wasn't for you and your mom, I think the whole church is crazy and it's all a bunch of junk made up in their mind. Because I don't believe that stuff. He said, but I believe you and your mom. So I told Dudley about the angel, and he's like, got that face like, come on, you're going too far now. And I didn't tell him anymore. And he came back later and said, where's the burn on your floor? But God didn't burn the floor, and he didn't burn the men in the furnace either. And he didn't burn the bush up that his fire was on either. He doesn't burn up things that cooperate with him. Oh. Want to see some scriptures, Dudley? He's probably going to see more crazy things than any of us, but he is the doubter. Who's that, Thomas? Thomas the doubter. Is that really you, Jesus? Come on, let me put my finger in the hole in your hand and make sure it's really there, you know? He's the doubter. But Thomas came along. It just took longer. I used to be a doubter, too. But if you ask your Father for the Holy Spirit, he will not give you a snake. And we know who the snake is. He loves you. And if your heart is, God, I want everything from you, I give you everything I am. I am scared right now for the sitting on the fence Christians, because we're in the day of the last church, Laodicea. We're in the day of the last church. The church in general has gone to sleep. The first storm, the first time God thundered to me, which was nearly a month ago, and the thunder came, I asked God, I know that thunder is your voice, and I want to know what you're saying. And he started telling me. The first time it thundered, he said, gather the people, gather the soldiers. Tell the church, wake up. You have to wake up. It's time to wake up. The church is asleep like Laodicea. Yeah, they're saved. They're not cold. They're not antichrist. They're not saying God's not real and we serve the devil. But they're not hot. They're not zealous. They're lukewarm. And he said the churches that are lukewarm, he will spit out of his mouth. He will throw them up like vomit. We don't want to be spit out. We want to be one that brings this move of God, brings what God is coming to do. That means we got to shake some stuff off. We've got to shake some stuff off. Another night that a thunder came, I think it was in a thunder, God said, call up the soldiers. And I saw the soldiers of God standing at attention. At attention meant all heads were looking up. All hands were up. He was their source. He was waiting for what they'd put in their hand. He was their source. Their eyes were on him, not on the world. And the prophets were laying on the ground in front of them, listening. One ear up, listening to God. One ear down, listening to the earth. And I wrote a whole song, how the earth cries. The earth cries. The blood cries. The blood cries, and those cries have come to the heart of God. The cries of the blood of the little babies that were murdered comes to the ears of God. The cries of all who were slain of his people are coming to the heart of God. And then your ear needs to be tuned. The prophets took and tuned their ears like radio dials to the new frequency. I believe God has stood up. I believe he has stood up. And he's getting ready to step down. Some of the visions we had in leadership, a couple of people, three people saw sand. Two that night, one I talked to later. And the sand, God stepped down into the sand, going deeper. Going deeper here on earth. And what comes out of that depth will be powerful. But are we going deeper with him, or are we complacent? Are we content? I don't want to lose my comfort. I want what I want. I want what I want. Bob Jones said, I have lived long enough to say, please never give me what I want again, because that always gets me in trouble. It always gets me in a mess. Give me what you want me to have. Give me what you want me to have. What is for me and good for me. We don't want to be a sleeping church. We're not going to be a sleeping church, because where two or more are gathered, there is he in the midst. As long as we have two or more who are going to lay down everything and just die to this world, die to this flesh, here it is, God, I lay it all down. It's not about me. It's not about I want a better home, I want a better marriage, I need more money, I want a position, I want to do this, I want to do that, give me, give me, give me. Do this for me. But I lay it all down. Do what you want with me. I am your vessel. Do anything you want with this vessel. As long as two or more will lay it all down, he is coming. He is coming to strengthen you. He is coming to stand you on your feet as a soldier. What made you fall yesterday, you will stand in tomorrow. There's a presence of God. And I still fall. Don't ever resist falling. Because when you fall in the presence of the Spirit, something new has come on you. Something you can't stand in yet. But there comes a time where the very same presence of God that made you weak and fall will say, now stand in that place. And he will strengthen your core to stand in that place. Now from that place you can minister to others who will fall in it. And then they'll learn to stand in it. See, we're going further and further and further and stronger and stronger and stronger. So if you stand, don't say, everybody's falling but me. God's not doing anything in me. Maybe you can stand in what he's doing right now. And if you're falling in it, fall in it. Soak it in. Take it in. Let it do its work. Someday he'll strengthen you to stand in that place. We're always falling at the new place, standing at the last place. Glory to glory, strength to strength. We're going forward. So this isn't much of an inner healing. Inner healing's not always inner healing. It's just another day here. God does what he wants. It doesn't matter. He does what he wants in all of them. But I think you that have been coming to this inner healing, he's either going to take you deeper because you need more healing. Without the healing, insecurity and pride and fear and damage rules your life. The lies, the deceptions, the woundedness. You have to be healthy. You need to be mommied. You need to be daddied. You need to be nurtured by God so that you're ready to marry Christ. A daddy and a mommy prepare their child for marriage. Father God, the mother heart of God, wants to prepare you so that you're ready to partner with his son. Not trying to say, I need a daddy, I need a mommy. No, God wants to do that first so you can stand in power with his son. And we all need more of that. I believe we've had a lot of fathering. We've had some mothering. I think the mothering is going to increase. I believe, according to the visions that have been coming, mothering is going to increase. So I don't know what you need. God knows what you need. Lay your life down and say, God, wherever I am, take me where I'm at and give me what I need for your own glory. Do what needs to happen in me for your own glory. Here I am, whatever it is. Do I need repentance? Uncover my sin? Smack me straight on with some truth that will make me repent. Don't leave me here. I need to be softened, soften me. I need to be stronger, strengthen me. I keep getting stronger and Harvey keeps getting softer. We keep coming from two opposites to the middle. I'm talking more, he's talking less. You know, we're trading places or something. But the pull to the balance. Whatever you need. Whatever you need. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? If you're content, you're lukewarm. Don't ever be content. I beg God. You know, people have said, I've been in such a presence of God that I had to say, no more, lest I die. I can't take any more. I've never said that. And I dare you to make me. God, I dare you to make me say uncle. Go ahead and pour out so much I can't take any more. Because I've never said uncle. I say I've never said uncle. But you know how we say uncle? We just get up and walk away. We basically say, that's enough. That's enough. Disinterested now. Get hungry. Nothing is enough. Get hungry. Won't be enough until we're face to face with him in heaven. Get hungry. And if you're not hungry, you can't make yourself hungry. But he will, because he wants you hungry. Put your hand on your own spirit and say, increase my hunger. Increase my hunger. And then fill it. And then increase it again, and then fill it. Make me so hungry, make me so willing, that I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care. I'm going to speak what you want. I'm going to go after God. I don't care if I look foolish. I don't care. I don't care if it costs me everything. Make me more hungry. Stir my hunger. God, I pray you stir our hunger this morning. Make us starving, hungry just to be with you. Not for power, not for position, but just to be with you. Just to be with you. To be in your presence, to experience your love, to love you back. To love you back. Stir up our love. We can't even love unless you love us first. Come today and just take us in your presence. Each one of us, wherever we need to be, whatever needs to happen, break us through a new barrier, through a new level, to a new place in you where we can be one with you, inside of you, right up by your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Show! Come, Holy Spirit. Show! Come, Holy Spirit. We are desperate for you. We are desperate for you. Oh, Lord, we are shallow and we are selfish and we are proud and we are angry and we are wounded and we are needy. And what we need is you. Bring us out of blindness. Bring us out of darkness. Shine inside of our darkness. Shine your light deeper. Go into every hiding room, every closet, every drawer of our being and search us. Search us, O God. Find any wicked way and grant repentance. Search us and find every wound and bring your healing oil. Show! God, we need you. We need you. We need you.